Dragon's Dogma 2, the highly anticipated successor to the cult classic Dragon's Dogma, is out now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, and Steam. Dragon's Dogma 2 is a third-person action RPG boasting a richly detailed and deeply explorable fantasy world created using Capcom's RE engines, immersive graphics, groundbreaking character AI systems, and cutting-edge graphics. Dive into the vast and dynamic world where the Arisen is called upon to fulfill a forgotten destiny across the nations of Vermund, the kingdom of humanity, and Batal, the nation of Beastrin. Dragon's Dogma 2 revolves entirely around choice. Your choice, that is. From the sword and shield wielding fighter to the illusion conjuring trickster, there are over 10 unique vocations to choose from that all require experience to unlock new skills. And character customization is out of this world. Literally. Oh, and did I mention that the combat is really in-depth? It isn't just hacking at a giant's ankle for half an hour while you dodge roll attacks. You can engage enemies from a distance, climb up large foes, stab them in their weak points, use the terrain and trick, trip, or throw foes off high cliffs and raging waters. So visit DragonsDogma.com to buy the game and start your epic quest today. That's DragonsDogma.com to learn more.
Yes, sir. The Drunk Tank Podcast.
Hey, you ever wonder why we're here?
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Rooster Teeth Podcast. As always, here's Gus Cirola.
And Joel Heyman.
This week, we're actually doing a mobile podcast for the first time ever, and we are recording the podcast from our hotel room.
And we found some guys in the parking lot, and we figured it might be funny to include the dudes from the parking lot in the podcast, so maybe we should have them introduce themselves.
Yeah, we have a couple of dudes here. Why don't you all introduce yourselves?
Would you do the honors, Mr. Lynch?
Mr. Lynch, this is Robert Guillaume.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. Well, I'll just go ahead. I'm Count 3D, and I'm from Canada. Hello.
I'm Robert Guillaume. I'm from Los Angeles.
Besides Count 3D, we have Mr. Robert Guillaume over there.
Hello. You may remember me from the 70s television show called Benson.
Dude, you ever used a microphone? Like, step up to it and fucking talk into it.
God damn it. I didn't want to be making
the fuck is wrong with you?
Fucking microphone.
This podcast is off to a great start. This is what happens.
Fuck
we get rookies in here for the first time. They don't know what's going on. That's a microphone. You talk
into
Hello, it and people hear you.
Internet.
There it is. Okay, so like I said, we're here at Comic-Con for, I think, what is this, Joel? Like our fifth Comic-Con ever?
I think it is, yeah. Fifth Comic-Con, yep.
How many have you been to?
I think this is my third.
I think this is my fifth. It never gets old.
A lot more worn down than I am.
It never gets old. We're here. We came out in advance of everyone else from the office. They'll all be showing up tomorrow so that we could try to set up the booth and run around and do all the stupid stuff ahead of time.
Gus, what's the one thing you were looking forward to seeing the most at Comic-Con this year?
Sunday night when we're done. That is the thing I'm looking forward to most seeing. You know, it's weird that you ask that. You know, like I said, this is my fourth or fifth Comic-Con, and I don't think I've ever seen anything at Comic-Con. Like, normally we're stuck in the booth all day, and then by the time we're done, I'm just so beat down, I don't get to see anything.
No, absolutely. It's the same thing, except for I usually find 10 minutes where I can trot off and go buy like a hoodie with the superhero thing insignia on the front of it, and then that's it. That's my Comic-Con. I'm done.
There is one thing I'm supposed to see. My wife insisted that I had to go take a picture of Michael Jackson's glove.
Waving everyone, right?
I think they're going to have it flipping everyone off.
But well, if they don't have that, you know, someone's going to have to like make that happen probably.
So I think that's the only thing I'm looking at. That's the only thing I'm going to see. I would like to see maybe some more Tron 2.0 footage, hopefully some Avatar stuff. But most likely, I'll be stuck in the booth. Actually, no, I take that back. This Comic-Con's going to be a little different than past Comic-Cons. We actually, since we launched Achievement Hunter last year, we've actually tried to leverage that this year. And we have business meetings with video game companies to see games and talk about them.
And how many?
I think we have like six meetings.
Now, that's impressive. That's nice. Now, how many sort of email correspondence did you have to get those six meetings?
It wasn't very many. It was actually pretty good. It was only like eight or nine emails.
Mitch Lynch, What is the one thing you're looking forward to seeing the most at this year's Comic-Con?
I don't know. I've never been to a Comic-Con before. I don't know what to expect, so I think it's just going to be taking it all in and seeing, just finding everything on my own.
What about you, Count 3D? What are you looking forward to seeing most?
Two words. New moon. That's all I have to say.
Is that a Twilight thing? What is that?
I've signed over to the whole vampire thing. It's absolutely not. I'm fucking not interested in that.
Oh man, I was gonna say, are you being ironic? I hope no. This is a joke.
No, I mean, there's shit. This is Comic-Con. There's a Avatar, like you said. This is gonna be the probably most groundbreaking film of all time. I'm looking forward to so much goddamn stuff, but that in particular. And obviously, there's a lot of video game presence here, which I'm also excited about. So I'm looking forward to playing Left 4 Dead 2 for sure.
Oh, you're going to go and check that out? I'm really super excited. That's probably the game I'm most excited to see here.
Me too.
And I think maybe there's just one of us in the room who isn't, like, totally excited about that.
Is someone not excited about Left 4 Dead 2?
Who could that be?
Oh, you motherfucker.
Why? That's what everyone was at.
Well, no, here's the thing, is that I love Left 4 Dead 1. I'm not Mr. Let's sign a protest form on the internet. I just think it's really quick. I don't know if there's enough dev time behind it. I mean,
you're not going to be making any Photoshops, are you?
I could be if people keep picking on me in this podcast. There's going to be some really fucking nasty Photoshops going up. But no, I mean, it's proof's in the pudding. And, you know, I'm a huge fan. I don't even know how many hours. I signed up for that, 360 voice or whatever it was to track my hours.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I haven't gone back to it since the podcast. I logged in, but I've probably got a good, I would say 30 or 40 days of multiplayer on the first one. I would say total. So, you know, I'd love the first one, but it's just, are the changes going to be enough?
Did you feel like you got your money's worth out of the first one?
The multiplayer, absolutely. But, well, I feel like, is a frying pan and a chainsaw and one different zombie really going to alter the experience?
Come on, dude. And four new maps.
Maps are maps, dude. Any good game. Okay, Modern Warfare. They added how many maps? Gears of War.
This is like when did our show turn into the McLaughlin Group? It's like we're all attacking.
You sir are incorrect.
You are wrong.
Objection.
The other thing that I am actually excited to see would be trailers for Donnie Darko 3.
No. God. Jesus Christ.
You had to have been in the car earlier.
We had a long Donnie Darko bashing discussion a little earlier. No,
seriously, I mean, that is a terrible, terrible movie. I mean, I've really tried to, like, not call out too many things, but, I mean, that's a terrible movie.
Yeah, right? I'm not a fan. I can definitely say that.
There's nothing going on in that movie.
Dom wasn't in the car for that conversation. We haven't gotten Dom's view on Donnie Darko, and he is the cinema buff.
What do you feel? How do you feel about
Donnie
Darko?
You're not on the spot at all, Dom.
Well, are we talking the original cut or the director's cut? There's a huge difference.
Let's go original theatrical release.
It was okay.
Oh, God.
So disappointing.
Now,
so
if they
disappointing.
Added vampires to that script, would that, like, be, you know, is that what you're looking for?
Vampires, zombies, a little bit of both. It would have been, I think it was a decent movie. It's just too bad the guy who did it has never done anything good ever again. I can't remember what his name was.
Yeah, ever.
Yeah. By the way, we're actually drinking. See, now.
Yeah, I wanted to point that out. I'm glad you brought it up. Yeah. This is the first actual Drunk Tank.
All the others were frauds, kids. We're legit. We're the real deal here.
We have photographic evidence this time.
And also, this Drunk Tank started about 4 hours ago.
You know, normally we record the podcast, or we start recording at about 10 or 10:30 in the morning. So, you know, it's a little early for hard liquor. Normally we're starting the day off with some beer or something like some Bloody Marys. But
I'd like you to say that to Jeff's face, that it's too early for hard liquor.
But we're starting it up right this time. And I'll say this. We were definitely prepared for this Drunk Tank.
Dom. You went to RVB Toronto.
I did.
Yeah, didn't you fly here, like straight here from there?
I did. I'm insane because that was a very foolish thing to do just because RVTO, if you don't know, is probably the greatest fan event
in
the universe.
How many people showed up this year?
I would say a good 120, about.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. But I really wish you all could have been there just because it was many of them were going there for the first time, and many of them, I don't know how many of them, there's at least one other person, a guy on the site, Moo Cow, who's going to be at Comic-Con. So he and I are going to be here, and I think this is his first or second time at Comic-Con.
It's his second. I actually met Moo Cow for the first time ever here at Comic-Con last year. Really nice guy. I like Dom on the podcast because he sounds British now. Normally when I'm talking to Dom, I don't ever hear an accent.
It's the drinking, folks. My accent changes the more I drink.
But now that we're sitting down...
I'm not sure what country he's from anymore.
We may have a pirate in here with us.
Dom, what was the best part of RVBTO?
Oh, God. Oh, Joel, you have to sucker punch me. Okay. The first night, I'd have to say, was the best because it was formal and everyone was meeting each other for the first time. And that's always a very cool moment when you have people from the internet meeting for the first time.
Hey, I got to ask you about that.
Yeah.
You said the first night was a formal event. Everyone got together?
Yes.
Was Jeff there?
Jeff was there.
What did Jeff wear? Because I can't picture Jeff wearing any formal wear.
He probably had a tattoo of a tuxedo.
Jeff.
I'm not naked.
That's
a tie.
He wore a clean pair of shoes. That's Jeff.
What a sport.
Yeah.
Are there any pictures?
There are a few pictures, and I'm sure many of them will be posted on the site very shortly.
I'll have to try and find some of those. Mm.
But Griffin looked so awesome every single day of the event.
I heard like a bunch of people got married or something.
Yes, a good friend of mine actually, who I knew these kids before they even met each other. They met each other at the second RVBTO 3 years ago.
How long have you known them?
I've known them for 3 years. But I used to go to university with one of them, so Ryan.
Are you close?
Yeah, I'm
friends.
Good, close. Good friends with them. Yeah, I used to drive down to the States to hang out with them. But
so,
Yeah, they got married, or I should say, they got engaged, which was very cool in front of hundreds of people to say, you know, pop.
I mean, that does sound pretty cool, you know. Yeah. I mean, but the funny thing is that I asked you like 10 minutes ago, like what the best thing about RVBTO was, and like your answer was, "Oh, we had a party first night." I've known these guys for 3 years. I'm my best friends. With, like,
you said you sucker punched him. So, yeah.
Totally getting called out.
Calling okay. him out. Calling
no,
out.
No. There's a difference between best and most super, memorable.
Like, super friends. I knew.
Ryan and Britt, you're always second in Dom's heart.
Yeah, what's going on with that? What's going on with that?
Finch.
The McLaughlin group has turned on Dom now. The spotlight's off.
Point Finch, counterpoint. Yeah. The best event in RVBTO.
I hate you all.
What happens when you mix alcohol and podcasting?
The lesson is just like if you're friends with Dom and you're gonna get married and like do something, just like don't propose because he doesn't care. He doesn't care.
I love you, Ryan and Britta. Please don't hate me.
That's all. Did they meet? Did they meet on the site?
That's correct. They met at RBTS.
That's awesome.
Wow,
yeah.
That's crazy. So we could say like Rooster Teeth, you know, helping nerds hook up since 2003.
We should get like a percentage of their earnings or something. Or,
a kid. We should have some sleeve labor by this point.
Second born?
Yes. I think that sounds totally reasonable. I mean,
no, seriously.
There are a ton of people I think who have met, got married, divorced, and remarried on the site.
There's got it. Well, we don't want anything to do with the divorce. We don't want
No, I mean, if they're already splitting half their money, what's another 10% on top of that? I mean, just coming our way, I'm just saying.
Right. Our tea alimony, right?
Yeah, our tea-imony.
Check your terms of use, folks.
No. It was in there. You agreed.
You agreed. You signed up for an account. You owe us. We're due, and we're collecting.
That's got to be at least 20 marriages, right?
No, I think that's easily 20 marriages, if not more.
Yeah, that's crazy, dude.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. You know, we're definitely helping people get married that should have no business dating.
And I'm just getting...
Come on, can I get a laugh or something? What the fuck?
Well, Matt and Bernie met on the site, right? Before they got married.
That's right.
Thank you.
That's right. Robert Guillaume is now on a second drink in the room. We had previous drinks where at a restaurant where Joel had the most disgusting...
Joel ate a raw fish at dinner tonight, didn't you, Joel?
I did. It was fantastic.
You didn't listen to me. We ate at this restaurant called The Yard House, which I always wanted to eat at when we came to San Diego because they have the best pot pie and the best mac and cheese in the world. And I told everyone that.
Oh.
So what does Joel do? He orders a fucking raw fish. How was the raw fish, Joel? Was it as good as a pot pie and as good as mac and cheese? I don't think so. It was a raw fish with guacamole on top.
Why did the group turn on me now?
It's the McLaughlin group.
It's your turn.
Why is it my turn?
You're under the magnifying glass now, bitch.
Let's go back to talking about the video games.
What the hell?
Which of the six meetings? Well, I changed subjects on you. See how I do that?
No, this will be released like
if you don't point it out, it's a lot smoother. I can tell you that right now.
Okay.
Of the six meetings, like what's the one you're looking forward to the most? Like what are they? Different video games?
Yeah, it's a bunch of different video games and publishers and developers. I'm looking forward to all of them actually, because we've never actually sat down and done anything like this where we talk to developers and, you know, record it and try to produce something from it. I don't know if we'll actually produce anything. You know, obviously I'm looking forward to Left 4 Dead 2. Beyond that, I'm not really sure what else we're looking at that I'm like super excited about. I'm really excited to get hands on with DC Universe Online, just because there's a lot of story behind that. And actually, I'm going to go off on a tangent here, Joel.
They were on the plane with us.
I
stole your thunder.
We sat next to or in the middle of a bunch of people from Sony Online who were flying out here to set up the DC Universe Online demo for Comic-Con. And at one point, right after takeoff, the guy sitting next to me, I was sitting in the middle seat. The guy sitting next to me turned to me and goes, he saw I was reading a video game magazine. He goes, oh, you're reading a video game magazine, huh? And he was reading PC Gamer or something. He goes, you're reading a video game magazine, huh? And I go, yeah. He goes, not many people are reading those, huh? And I was like, on this flight, I bet there's a ton. And he goes,
From the second I stepped out of my car under the shuttle, it was all Comic-Con people.
Yeah, he laughed. He's like, you going out for Comic-Con then, I take it? And I was like, yeah. He goes, oh, yeah, us too. And I was like, yeah, I'm going there for work. He goes, who do you work for? And I go, oh, I work with Rooster Teeth. You know, we do this and that. We make Red versus Blue. He goes, oh, yeah, the Red versus Blue. And he started yelling to all of his coworkers around the plane that he was sitting next to the Red versus Blue guys, which was terribly embarrassing.
Are you sure he was just saying, no, this guy isn't a terrorist, really?
But, no, they seem like cool guys. I can't wait to...
Especially the marketing chick.
To sit down and talk to them about the game. I believe I'm meeting with them at 1 p.m. on Friday.
Oh, you're meeting... So, wait. You got a meeting out of them on the plane?
No. I already had a meeting lined up.
See, I wasn't paying attention to what you were saying.
I already had a meeting lined up with them, and I'll be seeing them Friday.
Let me ask you, Gus. Sorry to ask you, go off on a tangent again, but... Are you interviewing anyone from Epic Games?
Epic? No, I don't have anyone lined up from Epic as far as I know.
Okay, I understand that they're going to be in Comic-Con for the Gears of War movie is going to be coming out in a bit. And the director is going to be here, actually.
Who's directing that?
It's the guy who did the Underworld series. So I think his name is Ken Wiseman.
Mm. Len. Wait.
Is that the dude who convinced that hot chick to leave her husband and marry him?
No, he's married to Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah.
He is basically God. He also did the Die Hard. He did Live Free or Die Hard. Len Wiseman.
That's correct.
He did the first two Underworlds, and then because he helped co-write them. And Danny McBride also co-wrote those. And if you've ever seen Eastbound and Down, I don't know how he went from vampire movies to Eastbound and Down and Land of the Lost and all that, but that guy's career has taken off. But
yeah, totally.
Len Wiseman, yeah, he's basically a god.
Okay, this is probably going to get cut, but Finch, these microphones are designed to drown out external noises. You have to really get on top of them for them to pick you up.
Are you ready to rock?
Just like that.
I said, are you ready to rock?
Who's that guy who kept screaming?
I don't know. It was really weird.
That was the bellhop. Looking for a tip.
So I know we've only been into the convention center like once or twice at this point, you know, in the process of setting up. Has anyone seen anything that looked cool? Like, I'm honestly a little shocked at how little has been done by exhibitors to like set up their booths by this point. I figured a lot more would be built out, but it seems like the hall's pretty bare at this point.
I saw some pretty impressive forklifts. Saw a lot of those. That I haven't seen anything. Did you see anything?
No, but I heard something about how the Green Hornet car is going to make an appearance for those of you who are interested in that.
Yeah, I heard the Green Hornet car is actually going to be unveiled, what they say, at 8 or 8:30 Wednesday evening. By Seth Rogen, right?
He's going to be there and he's going to show it.
I didn't even know
I hope this is not going to be a new movie.
I didn't know Green Hornet.
Seth Rogen is the Green Hornet car.
Yeah.
I'm a car.
Is Seth Rogen in the Green Hornet movie?
He is. And
who's he playing?
Maybe the Green Hornet?
No. That can't be right.
I just heard that Nicolas Cage is going to be the bad guy, and you know he's good for whatever, you know.
Toupee Man? Is that one of Green Hornet's enemies? Is that right? I don't follow comic books very much. No.
They get that giant wallet to talk? Oh, wait a minute. That's Nicolas Cage. Okay, this is Comic-Con. The first year I was at Comic-Con, I thought, okay, this is Comic-Con. I'm going to look at comic books because Comic-Con, right? So I figured, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to find the most expensive comic that I can find.
It was a 1981 Strawberry Shortcake.
$25,000.
What? What was it? Was it like an original Superman or something?
It was printed with virgin blood mixed into the red ink.
I'm totally kidding. Actually, the most expensive comic that I did find, it was a Superman comic, and I think it was around $10,000.
Wow. So that's...
And I found a bunch of them for like $5,000, $7,000. It was like... And I was almost like, geez, should I buy this comic book?
Did you?
No, I did. Fuck no.
Okay, good. Man, I'm honestly, I wish you had so I could make fun of you right now for it, like 5 years later.
And that would be like the first comic. No,
you know what? Actually, would be interesting. Yeah. You should go and see if you can find that comic again this year and see how much it's selling for now.
I bet you. Oh, this is interesting. But I bet you $1 million. It's worth less.
Why would you say that? Do you have like a hunch
about
it?
I think the peak of comic book, and I could be completely wrong about this, but it seems to me like the late 90s, early aughts. Was the height of comic book prices. Also, we're in a recession, right?
No, I guess that's true. Maybe you can find Stan Lee and have him autograph it.
I'll guarantee you that when we were dealing with like the NASDAQ internet bubble, I guarantee you there was a correlation between like the highest priced comic books before that bubble burst. I bet you after that bubble burst, I bet like comic books just devalued.
But see, that's the thing with collectibles, with any collectible, with the comics, sports cards, any of that, they give you these price guides with these sky-high jacked dreams, you know, year after year, where it just keeps climbing and climbing. No one's ever going to pay that amount for it because there's so many in circulation. And as years go by, that person gets forgotten unless they're like friggin' Kobe Bryant or it is like issue number one of Spider-Man and it's in perfect, pristine condition. You're never going to get that asking price for it. So the collecting...
I don't know.
I think it's a racket. It's been a racket
forever.
Well,
I mean, so I bet you'll get something. I mean, there is a value. I'm sure. You know,
yeah, it's only worth what someone's willing to pay for it. I mean, a book can write whatever value it wants. That doesn't mean shit.
Right, exactly.
I bet you there are people out there who are spending thousands of dollars.
It's like watching Antiques Roadshow, and like someone brings a piece of shit plate, and they're like, oh, my grandfather gave me this plate. It's like, oh, wow, this plate's worth $15,000. Bullshit.
No, like I read a story, I think, in the New York Times like 2 days ago about like construction worker finds barrel. And in the barrel are these old wooden like statues, and ta-da, these statues are worth $17,000. Now... Okay, so you're in a construction site, you find an old barrel, you open up the barrel, there's some statues. I guess, what do? You immediately take it to, like, an antiquities expert and just like, oh, yep, $17,000. I don't know.
I hadn't heard that story. That's interesting.
I don't know.
So what's the market? Can we pull up the internet and see what Beanie Babies are going for nowadays?
You should look up the most expensive comic book.
Oh, no, I'm not doing that.
You're so lazy.
We're talking. I'm not going to break the beat so we can all pause and sit around with our thumbs up our asses while I do stupid Google searches and try to find a goddamn comic book.
I was
going to
put my thumb up his ass.
Your thumb is already up his ass, so, I mean, we're already halfway
there.
It's
the only way he'll talk into the microphone.
That's how you get Robert Guillaume to work. It's in his writer.
What do we do? Do we have any... We're selling Griff Balls, right? Griff Ball guys?
We're not, but...
For $10,000 a piece?
Toys R Us is selling limited edition Griff Ball figures.
Surely we brought something here.
Who made those limited edition Griff Ball figures?
McFarlane Toys.
Actually, we had Gavino tied up in the basement for about 2 months, cobbling. You can't do this.
Let me ask you, why? Like, why Griff Ball?
I think probably because it's like identifiable. It doesn't look, or people have an association with it, and it's not just, you know, a weirdly colored Spartan. You know, I guess maybe Griff Ball shows up in the Bungie playlist every now and then, and people might be more familiar with Griff Ball than, say, you know, like a red versus blue character, which might just be... And they already sell, you know, generic red and blue Spartans.
So does Jeff, like, wear a tiara around the office because this happened?
You know, McFarlane sent us two of the Griff Ball figures, and we had them at the office. And, you know, I had one because I'd been talking with them, and Bernie had the other one. And
he was using his as a belt buckle, right?
Yeah. Jeff guilted me into giving him mine, so I don't have one anymore.
Wouldn't they send one named after the character? Why wouldn't they send three? What is so wrong with McFarlane Industries?
It's not their fault. I think they sent it with the intention that he would get one. The problem is,
okay,
I intercepted
it. You work in an office of seven whole people, okay? You think they could cop up seven whole...
I'm not going to talk shit about them. They're making Griffball figures.
I think the problem was that for a long time we were working on a McFarlane action figure, and that turned out to be a disaster. So.
Oh my goodness.
So, you know, you asked what like video game meetings I'm excited about and what I'm looking forward to this week. And actually, I just remembered that I have a meeting with Splinter Cell Conviction on Friday, I believe.
Sweet.
And it's like it's going to be like a whole event. Like they're going to.
Now, have you done your homework? Have you like come up with questions, like deep, meaningful, like questions to ask them to be like, wow.
Well, you know, yes and no. Like, Splinter Cell Conviction was one of those games. It's been in development for so long that it kind of was on my radar, fell off my radar. Then after this last E3, it came back onto the radar because I thought the demo they gave at E3 was really awesome. And I'm really excited to see it. And unfortunately, it won't be a hands-on. It'll be like a walkthrough with someone else running the controls. But
now, Gus, I have to ask this question. You keep saying I for all these meetings. I have a meeting with so-and-so. I have a meeting. So you're the only one going, and the rest of us got to like just flog
our royal eye.
Oh, it's the royal eye, the editorial eye?
Well, I should say this. I set them up, but Jeff and I are both going.
But we knock them down? Oh, just you and Jeff? Okay.
Yeah. So have fun.
Enjoy that little butt vacation with each other.
No, we'll try to bring as many people with us as we can. I think the Splinter Cell one might be difficult, and the EA one might be difficult to get more people into.
This means Joel's going to have to be doing Caboose impressions for 8 hours while you guys are up honeymooning with Splinter Cell.
Joel said he wasn't interested in any of those meetings. So
I think, and this is not a knock against any of the games. I'm sure they're all excellent. But I'd rather, you know, just play the video game. You know,
well,
I think the one that I would be interested in going into maybe would be the zombie thing that Finch doesn't like for whatever reason. You know what's kind of funny is that Gus earlier was like, you know, it's funny because Dom all of a sudden has this weird accent and we're not sure why. But it occurs to me that Gus also has a weird accent.
I do?
Yeah, when he goes into the podcast, it's like, this is Gus in real life. Everybody shut up, motherfuckers! I'll fucking kick you in your sacks, fucking! Hi, this is Gus. I'm with the podcast, and today we'll be talking about whatever subjects of video. Y'all shut up! Kick you in the sack! We're talking about the podcast.
That's what
it's funny because it's
true.
Is
this mannerisms 101? We have this weird cloning experiment going on.
Speaking of which, Joel told me something really creepy at dinner tonight.
It was fairly creepy.
He told me that he has been practicing trying to get my mannerisms down, and that he's trying to figure them out better. And I said, why, Joel? What the fuck are you doing? And he said, oh, nothing. I shouldn't have said that. I'm not talking about this. What the fuck are you doing, Joel?
Well, I didn't want to say anything, but I did have a costume for Comic-Con.
Bullshit.
I'm going as Gus. It's going to be great.
You got me really scared, Joel. I'm going to be changing up all my mannerisms now. You're not going to know who you're dealing with.
It's going to be confusing.
Well, were you going to go as Gus or Super Gus?
They're really the same. Well, I mean, you know, I don't know.
You wrote the screenplay on that, so, you know, you might want to elaborate on that.
Fair enough.
Mean, that's, you know, maybe that's why you're learning his mannerisms for Super Gus 2. Is that in the works?
I didn't write anything.
Is that a Comic-Con exclusive, Super Gus 2?
Gus wrote it through his life. Just being Gus, that was it.
I want to point out that Gus has fallen prey to hip-hop marketing by drinking Ciroc vodka, which is owned and I believe comes from the penis of Sean P. Diddy Combs.
Does it?
Yes. He owns, manufactures, and...
Normally, I only drink Tito's Vodka, which is an Austin-based vodka place. But they didn't have Tito's here, obviously, because it's kind of a small company. I bought Ciroc because someone once bought it for me at a convention in Dallas. And I thought, that tasted okay.
Who bought that? Who bought that for you?
I believe it was Spiky 206 on the site.
Really?
Yeah, and because I remembered it, I grabbed it. I only ever drink Tito's.
You've never had Grey Goose in your life?
I have had it, like when I was younger. Yeah, sure, but I mean,
what? You've had so much
Grey Goose is expensive compared to Tito's. Tito's is like so cheap.
To wrap it up, we're Comic-Con. We have 9 million things we have to do,
and we have no exclusives for our podcast.
I'm running out
listeners.
Of clothes to wear. Is there any cool shit I can buy that you'd recommend?
I highly recommend the Rooster Teeth Griffball Polo, which is a Comic-Con exclusive.
Is that something Bernie would wear?
I would highly recommend the Griffball.
Motherfucking sex! Keep going, sex!
I would highly recommend.
You can become like a DJ and like soft music.
No, seriously, would Bernie Burns wear the Griffball Polo?
I'm going more for the NPR. Demographic, but right. Yeah, Bernie Burns would. In fact, Bernie Burns is probably going to be wearing.
He would wear it as his underwear.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying is you can connect with your buyers by saying the founder of the company, he's not only the founder of the company, but he's also a client.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? Like the hair club dudes?
You sound like an Amex commercial or something.
I was going for Amco, but there you go.
Well, it started with an A. Okay, what else? Anything else? Anyone else? Any closing? Should we have closing
thoughts? Yeah, anybody have closing thoughts before we wrap this up?
Dom, closing thoughts.
Yeah, you've been really quiet this podcast, Dom. You have to carry this now.
I haven't been doing enough drinking, and I apologize for that. Clearly, I've had such a fucking fantastic time at Toronto, and all you losers have missed out that, you know, you'll have to come next year.
It's okay, Governor.
You're surrounded by three losers that didn't make it this year, Dom. Way to go. And we're drunk.
So basically, Dom is saying, come to RVBTO 2010, right?
Basically.
Okay, so I guess any other
Finch, closing
statements?
This has been a real hoot. I'm learning how microphones work. This is a great educational tutorial. I'm really looking forward to Comic-Con. And we haven't had an exclusive, so I'm going to give you this Rooster Teeth exclusive right now. Red versus Blue Recreation, or Recreation as it were, will be on DVD as soon as the series is finished.
We had a debate. It was like, listen, if we call it this, they're going to call it Recreation. No, they're not. They're not going to call it Recreation. They'll call it Recreation. No, they're not. They're going to call it Recreation. We had for days. This is.
I have yet to see any beach balls or leisure time activity within the series, but so yeah, that'll be out on DVD as soon as the series is done.
Sure,
just keep watching.
You had to say it twice.
Oh yeah, you'll want to wait for the climax online to keep those ratings up, those internet ratings. But
isn't that what you work on all day, climaxing online?
Oh yes, I do. Get on, bazing!
All right, thanks for listening, everyone. This is the Rooster Teeth Podcast.
Yay!